Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. Enjoyed the service already. I agree we could continue to have a discussion about what the church is, how we practice that in a community of the church, how we should continue to practice in these days. For change of thought, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Be looking at faith this morning. We have the verse 1, Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We know that to describe faith is hard, isn't it? We know that we can't really describe what faith is because faith isn't seen. It's not something that we can describe in that way. A few of the definitions of faith: one is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And we know that if we have faith in someone, we are saying, are we implying that we trust them or we have confidence in them? I think this morning we realized that our deepest definition of faith or our faith is a trust and a confidence in Jesus, in God. We have a complete trust and faith, and as we go through this message, I think we all understand that we don't have as full of faith as what we wish sometimes, and that faith in our lives is something that continues to grow and something that we continue to want more of, and we want to inspire this faith in each other as well. Another one is strong belief in God and in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And I think that's a good one. I'll read it again. Strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So many times we, or people in general, I guess, want to believe on something by seeing the proof or seeing the evidence. And we know that's not how faith works. We can't always offer up the proof. We can't always see the proof. But it still requires us to believe. Number three, to believe that someone or something deserves to be trusted. And that's how we describe our faith in Christ, isn't it? We believe he deserves us to trust in him. I'll just quote from Tennyson in Memoriam. I've never did read that whole work. It was just a quote here, part of it. It says, "Strong Son of God, immortal love, whom we that have not seen thy face, by faith and faith alone embrace, believing where we cannot prove." I'll just read that again as well. "Strong Son of God, immortal love, whom we that have not seen thy faith, have not seen thy face, by faith and faith alone embrace, believing where we cannot prove." I'll just read verse 1 again, Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now we'll look at these people mentioned here and see how faith worked in their lives. First one we have is Abel in verse 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So that's a powerful testimony that someone that was dead this long, these many years ago, he still speaks so powerfully to us today. We'll just go to Genesis 4, verses 3 and 4. See what took place here. It says in verses 3 and 4, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. I guess I should have backed up here. Verse 2 here says, but Eve had these two sons, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so they brought their sacrifices. Process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And it goes on there and tells the story of how Cain was angry, and he went and he killed Abel. So what was the difference here? We know that these two people, these two men, they each had their job that they did. One was looking after sheep, cattle. The other one was tilling the ground, planting vegetables probably. And so that's what they were working with. That's what their job was. And they brought an offering of their work. I'll just ask a question there. Daniel, what's your idea? Why do you think one was right and one was wrong? All right. Eldon, do you have an idea?
Wasn't it the heart?
Right. It's the heart was involved in that too. We see that God said if he would have the right heart, he would be accepted as well. But I think even here already we have, I don't know how much they understood that. But we know already from this time on, to bring a sacrifice was to bring, or this sacrifice was, that Abel brought, was a sacrifice of atonement. He was showing already in this time what God's plan was for atonement throughout this whole time to the time of Christ. This was a foreshadow of that there needed to be a shedding of blood to make a true atonement or sacrifice of atonement. And Abel did that with his sacrifice. You know, Cain would have had a chance to do that as well, right? He could have found an animal to sacrifice, to shed blood, to bring that offering for the Lord. But he didn't. He just brought what was easy for him to bring. And like was already mentioned, his heart seems to show that he didn't have true respect to God, and he was kind of nonchalant in that offering. But we know that Abel had faith that God would accept his offering because he brought it in sincerity. All right, number two, we have Enoch, verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see that God took him up into heaven. This was the first time that a person had not died a natural death, but was rather taken up into heaven by God. And I'll just go back to Genesis or read these verses. Genesis 5, verse 21 and 22. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. But Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 65 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. According to Matthew Henry, quote, says, he was really eminently, actively, progressively, and perseveringly religious in his conformity to God, communion with God, and complacency in God. I think for God to be able to take him out of the world the way he did shows us that Enoch walked with God, not just the last little bit of his life, I don't think. And I guess I should hasten to say that anyone that turns to God, whether it's the last few days of his life, is equally saved. There's no difference in that. But I think Enoch walked with God for many years. He was special to God in this way. He had that faith before. His faith endured through these 365 years, I think. He was a person that God could depend on. We know that he was a prophet. Just read in Jude, it's referring to him there. Jude verses 14 and 15. And Enoch also was the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Showing us that even way back here in the beginning of Genesis, here was a man that understood what God required, understood God's working with man, his need for man, or his requirement for man to walk in holiness, and his promise that there would be judgment on sinful people as well. It says here in in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God still requires the same faith in us. The faith in our lives to believe that he requires holiness in our lives. And we sometimes think, well, in our lives, that's a high calling for us to continually walk in holiness. We think of holy people as these people that are mentioned here in Hebrews. But I think we can also walk in holiness today, and God still requires that in our lives. Not saying that we never fail and that we don't have progress that needs to be happening in our life. But it is possible for us to live holy lives, to be serious about God, to have that faith in Him. We need to walk diligently with God. We know that Enoch did not receive this blessing of being taken out of this world to not facing physical death. He did not get that by just a casual stroll with God, I don't think. That's not the walk that is talked about when it says he walked with God. But it was a purposeful walk. He had a destination in mind, and he followed God in that. It's not just a casual stroll wherever his life maybe took him. Then number 3, number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I think it's significant that Noah is mentioned here. We know that it's one of the Bible stories that first is that catches the imagination of children. Noah had the faith to build an ark, and as we let our minds, our imagination run, it is hard for us to imagine what the time was like to, in this evilness, that time that Noah lived in. But we know that he had the faith to follow God in this. In Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I'll just read these verses. Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." So, the same as Enoch, see, Noah also walked with God. And then we have God making covenant with him, verse 18. It says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." So he had this warning that he received that there would be judgment coming on the earth, and the instruction that was given to him to build an ark, the details of that. And he received this warning and acted on it. He believed it and acted on it. You know, he had never seen rain come down on earth before. He was just going by the description God gave to him. And it's fairly easy for us to make decisions and to be scared of things that we have seen, to relate to that, something we have seen with our eyes or experienced in our lives. But something that is totally unheard of, never experienced before, that requires faith to act on that. His faith, Noah's faith, silenced all his objections and set him to work. In spite of the people mocking him, those around him, he was convinced, his faith was that strong that he acted on it and made sure that he instilled that in his family as well. He was able to inspire them to these many years. You know, this wasn't just the work that he did on a weekend and then their faith saved them. But it was years that this faith was strong enough to carry them through. Genesis 7, verse 7, it says, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And they were then spared." The next one, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." Stop there. No, Abraham and his family, his sons, had faith to go to a land that they had never been to before. You know, when they left Haran here, I think this was a pretty well-established place that they already had here. They had their business, they had their family, their culture. As we, of us who have moved, we all have moved from a different area to, and we knew where we were going, kind of. We know how hard that was to move somewhere, to uproot our families, maybe change culture, maybe change jobs. That in itself is hard enough, but when you think of what Abraham did, he had no idea where he was going. He didn't even have a prospect of a house to live in. They were living in tents, him and his sons and his family and their family. But they believed God. They had the faith in God that there was a future for them, that that God had a plan for them. And this wasn't just that they were going to a better place necessarily right away. I mean, we realize that they did get many blessings later, and that's what they were trusting in. But when they left here, this was also in a time, or at least soon after, in a time of famine. This wasn't an easy road for them to go and dwell these many years in tents in rocky wilderness. The hardships that they faced, but they had faith. That's why he's mentioned here in this book of Hebrews so many years, hundreds of thousands of years later. And his sons also had faith. They went with him. They could have decided that they would stay with their relatives, their uncles and aunts and cousins, and things in the culture that they knew, but they were willing to go along and face this as well. Also, verse 11, Sarah, specifically mentioned here. "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Continue reading. "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And then 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I'll stop reading there. But going back to Sarah here, we realize that maybe she had some doubts along the way. We know that she laughed, and she had some places where she failed, but she is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11 as a person of faith. She had the faith that God would have a plan for her child that was to be born to her. It's a strong faith. And then these other verses that we read, 13 through 17, or through 16, they had the faith that even though they didn't see everything fulfilled in their lifetime, maybe they didn't receive all the promises, they believed that there would be blessings in the future, maybe for their future generation of their children. Verses 17 and 19, Abraham had the faith that God had a plan when he was offering up his son, Isaac. I'm sure that required great faith to physically go ahead with that, preparing to sacrifice his son. God had called him to do that. He did, and he is mentioned here in Hebrews 11 for this. He had the faith, this promised son that God had given to him, he was called to offer him up. You could say, how does that make sense? But he had a powerful faith in his God that there was a plan for him. Also Isaac in verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He blessed his sons. And we realize that there was some trickery that went on here. But he had a vision for his sons. He was wanting to bless them. Genesis 27. Verses 27 through 29. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And then when he found out that this was other son than that he thought, we know that I'll just losing spot here. Oh, when Esau also got a blessing. Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven above. And by thy sword thou shalt live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Anyway, for us today, do we have that kind of faith that we want to bless our children as well? Of course we do, but how? I guess that would be a subject of itself, how we can do that practically in our lives today. But I think we need to actively do that, to actively try to bless our children, to take opportunities to show our faith to them. We can do that, or we can hinder their faith by how we trust and how we have faith in God. In verse 21, we also have Jacob by faith. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. He's mentioned here because he blessed the sons of Joseph. These aren't just his sons, but his grandsons. And he was interested in their spiritual welfare as well. And I think we need to have a faith that those of our future generations will also be able to carry on the faith, will also be able to serve the Lord, even though I think that our times are so evil. God must come before the end of our days, because, I mean, we might think that there's just not much chance that the future generations will be able to be faithful, but is our faith big enough to understand that God also may have a way beyond and for them as well? Genesis 48. Verses 15 and 16. He blessed Joseph and said, God, for whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. This was the blessing that he proclaimed upon them, the sons of Joseph, that they would become a multitude of people, or a blessing among the people that they would live. Let's have that kind of a faith also, that the future generation will be strong for the Lord. You know, that's sometimes also a challenge for the church. The older generation maybe have responsibility leading the church, and then they have a hard time passing on the torch to the younger generation, to the younger people. I think it requires faith on our part as we become older to be able to see that God can continue to work in the church, continue to have people serving him faithfully. Then verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It's also mentioned here. He spoke of the time when the Israelites would be delivered out of Egypt. He did this as a caution. He wanted them to understand that there would be a time that they needed to move out of Egypt. I think he realized that there would be a danger of them becoming satisfied with the ease and plenty that might be available to them. He wanted them to have the faith that God would lead them out and deliver them and continue to have a place for his people separate from the world. He did this even though he knew he would not live to see their deliverance, yet he had the faith that it would happen. Number 8, See the faith of Amram and Jochebed, verse 23. It says here, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was the proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They are mentioned here in Hebrews 11 because they had faith. The parents of Moses. You know, this was a time when all the children were, all the male children, 2 years and under, were to be killed. But they had the faith that God had a plan for their son. I'm sure they didn't realize that he would be used so vitally in the work of the children of Israel, the work of the Lord. But they took an active path here to save their son. They built this ark, put him out here, and when Pharaoh's daughter came and saw this child, they took active measures so that they would be there, present, available to raise this child. And I'm sure this was, they had many questions and many things that troubled them when they thought of their son living in the life of Egypt here, Pharaoh's house. But I think they had faith that God would somehow make a way for their son. Do we have that kind of faith in our lives as well? For the young families here with us, do you have faith that you can raise children in these times that we live in? I trust you do, and I think we all do have faith that God has a way forward. And also for all the children that are born in the world today, we see so much heartache and people not caring properly for the children, but we realize that God is able to provide a way. Do we have faith in that? Do we have faith that God can provide a home for each one of the children that is destroyed before they are born? Do we have the faith that God has a way that we can all contribute somehow to whatever things God leads into our lives? You know, there are words that we can speak, encouragement to people that are suffering, that have questions. There are physical things we can do. Give money, maybe. Do we have the faith that these parents did, that God has a way for our small children as well? Verses 24 to 28. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And I guess it's quite evident here what our challenge is, but do we esteem the reproach of Christ as great riches in our lives as well? You know, we can so easily associate with the world around us. How close are our ties with the country we live in? Do we fear the king that we are serving under in this country? I mean, that is over us. Do we fear him more than our king, our heavenly king? That will affect many aspects of our lives. We know Moses also kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Do we keep the ordinances? Do we keep the commands that we are given in the scripture, or are we at times too afraid and do not serve our heavenly King as we should? Do we have the faith of Moses to identify with God's people? Verse 29. Faith of the Israelites. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And yeah, we realize that they had many, many times when Israel did not have the faith they should have, but they are mentioned here as having had faith, heroes of faith. And as we put ourselves in that situation, as mentioned right here, if we would see waters of Kootenai Lake parting, I guess if we had a voice from God telling us to go through, we probably would have that faith. But, you know, to just physically think of water to go into a sea like that, that amount of water on each side, it took faith for them to do that. It took faith for them to do many of the things that they did that God called them to in their wanderings in the wilderness. And I'm sure there were people that did not truly have the faith. We have that record. But I'm sure there were also people among them that continually had a pretty strong faith in their God. And then in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And by her faith, she spared not only herself, but her family as well. I'll just go to Joshua here, 6, verse 17. Breaking in here, it says, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And then also verses 22 and 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought them out, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into treasury in the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's house and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You think of that situation as well. She also had faith. These were the enemies of her people, but she believed their God. She had seen the work, and she had heard the reputation of their God, and she decided to put her faith in that God as well. Spared not only herself, but her family. That's incredible faith when you think of that. And she didn't wait till she thought, well, now is probably about the time that the spies will come back or that the army will come back. But immediately when those spies left, it says that she hung out that cord. That was her act of faith. I think she literally believed that they would come and if she did this, that there would be life for her, and there was. Do we have that kind of faith? And then it goes on here and says, lists many others. We won't go into each one of these. I'll just read this right now, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It would be interesting to do a study into all these others that were mentioned here that had faith. But, you know, all these that we looked at can be such an inspiration to us, to our faith. And they, in their time, had so limited, you know, they didn't have the whole Bible to look back at examples of that many people. But they acted in faith, just in their belief that God would work for them. How does our faith compare? You know, we also have many things that we don't know and don't understand, but we are also required to go forward in faith. Luke 18, verse 8. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need faith. We require faith. Let's have this faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our God, we pause before you at the close of this service. We thank you for your word, for this list of people that served you in the past, that had such great faith. And we also thank you that we can see that at times, even though their faith maybe wasn't that strong, maybe it wavered, it shows us that they were people like us. And it kind of gives us an encouragement too that we, even though we aren't perfect all the time either, but we can have a strong faith that leads us forward, and that we can also walk with you like Enoch did. Maybe we will be translated out of this earth, but maybe also we will need to face physical death. But just help us to have a strong faith that we can, whether our days are few or long, that we can faithfully serve you, that we can have a strong faith. And that our faith not only will bear us in our times, but that we can also have a faith that you will work in our families and in our future generations, in our grandsons and daughters, in the church, both present and in the first church of the future, that you have a goal, that you have a work for each one of us. Help us to see that work that you have for us. Help us to faithfully do our part. Help us to have a vision for the church, that we would have a strong faith as these men and women of the Bible did. Just pray now that you'll be with us throughout the rest of this day, that you would be near to us, and help us to be inspired. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.